This is Return to You podcast with me, your host, Erica Straub. Each week, I'll drop in with thought leaders and soulful healers for expansive conversations on resolving the conflict trauma created between you living and loving directly and intimately. To be fulfilled and satisfied in this lifetime, you have to bring your true self forward. But first, you gotta ask the question, who am I? It is my pleasure, my absolute pleasure, to introduce you to Ben Bidwell today. He has held me in some deeply intimate conversations and breathwork sessions, and I'm so excited for you to experience his wisdom and his authenticity. He is a man that has walked the walk, and you will clearly see that. He is a human potential coach and breathwork practitioner who helps people create better relationships and live a more fulfilling and purposeful existence. Having been on his own journey from a man unconsciously drawn to toxic behaviors to an awakened and open soul, his work is deeply authentic and relatable. His compassionate heart creates a uniquely safe space for introspection, allowing for deep healing to arise. You will be changed by this conversation. So let's drop in. Thank you, Ben, so much for being here.
Oh, Erica, thank you. Thank you for sharing. It's always not a challenge, but you know, receiving that is always like, oh, you know, you kind of stuff comes up. So it's beautiful just to sit and receive. And thank you for sharing all of that. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. I'm really thrilled to drop in with you again. Twice in 1 week feels like a total gift. So
thank you.
What I'm most curious about in kind of starting here is what put you on this path? What drew you to this work to really evolve from an unconscious place to a really open-hearted, deep soul person?
You know, it was totally by accident, Erica. I had no intention. And I really, let's say at the age of 30, just before I started going on this journey, I just thought I wasn't that kind of person. I thought I was unemotional. I thought I was dead inside. I thought I was just, you know, a man doing his thing. And I really thought that's who I was. And it was really by accident in the sense that I wanted to work on a physical challenge I had. My story is that I always struggled to orgasm from the first time I had sex at 18. That was my experience. And that was how it was. That's how I lived for 12 years. And he was only looking to make changes in that area of my life. I wanted to have different sexual experiences. And I worked with a hypnotherapist. And fortunately, she didn't. She would have known that I closed myself off. She would have known that I was inauthentic. I wasn't living to my values and all these things that I can see now. But at the time, I had no idea. And she said to me, Ben, we need to connect you to your emotions. We need to open you up. You need to become open, vulnerable, all this kind of stuff. I would have been like, no, that's not me. I'm not looking to do that. I just want the sex bit. You know, give me the tricks and I'll change that. I don't want the rest. Fortunately, she didn't say that to me. And I went in believing this was just a physical experience, and obviously it wasn't. And she unfolded me from the inside, and that was my journey ever since. And what was beautiful is that as I started to open up, I could sense this does feel right. Like I'm glad. It feels a bit weird, and I'm judging this, and I'm not sure I'm comfortable with it. And I'm sure my friends are wondering what I'm doing, but part of me feels this is right. And so from then on, it's just been continuing to listen to that deeper part of me that's like, yes, yes, and let go of the judgment that's like, this is a bit weird, but what's everyone else going to make of this? And so it's just been one long journey. I'm 42 now, so 12 years on, and it's ongoing. Yeah.
Oh, it's so interesting, the things that initiate us into the work. And there's always something that has to be deeply motivating to get us into the work. And then it becomes not just about that and something so much bigger. And when you're sharing that, I think about release, like this idea of release. I know for me, and you experienced this with me and the breath work we've done, the release feels terrifying. And I just imagining there was some fear or something that came up around this idea of release.
I'm sure there are so many words that I can associate to it now. Yeah, numb. you know, I'd numbed myself to my emotions. That doesn't work very well sexually. I was scared to release, as you say, scared to let go, scared to surrender. I was living very like caught up. I was in this box of just shoulds and performing. You know, I was trying to be a people pleaser, no doubt. It was all about them. I wasn't experiencing anything myself. I wasn't really enjoying sex. There's so many aspects to it. And I was all of them. It's a cocktail of things that were going to lead me to this place. It's, for me now, it makes complete sense, you know? But yeah, at the time, I had no.
What makes so much sense to you now, 12 years later into this journey?
Just how numb I was, how inauthentic I was, how disconnected I was. All the cliches that, you know, that we hear people talk about, I was them all. And I think for many people, it shows up in different ways. Anxiety, lack of purpose, fatigue, in burnout, all of this kind of stuff, because it's tiring not living true to yourself, which ultimately is what I'm saying. I was never living true to myself. It's exhausting. For whatever reason, maybe because of the numbing of the emotions and the numbing of my experience, maybe that's how I saw it or how it showed up most strongly for me was sexually. But yeah, I think there's a lot of people experiencing similar things, but having a different physical reaction. You know,
how we do anything is how we do everything. It's so interesting how it shows up in all these places once we start to face it. I can deeply relate to the numbing and then there being the anxiety piece on the other side. I find that those really go hand in hand. I'm curious if that was a part of your experience, like numb and anxious and kind of vacillating between those.
Yeah, I would say it was, but I didn't even know what anxiety was and I didn't understand it. And I was so numb to everything. I think the anxiety that I experienced, probably for me, I thought was ambition. I thought I just wanted more and I needed more. I needed more women, better women, more money, more holidays, more partying, more of all the stuff that I was chasing. And so when there was a sense of like anxiety or anxiousness or emptiness, it was like, well, that's just because I'm ambitious. I want more, not I'm anxious, you know? But apart in hindsight, looking back, yeah, I think it was that experience.
Yeah. I love how like ambition can kind of cover the anxiety and we can really fall into that and the doing and the more. And when you're talking, it's making me think so much about the pull to the other or the pull to the external to really satiate this. And that being almost to me at least, the opposite of intimacy. And when it's all about the other, we lose intimacy. So I'm really curious, like through your journey and where you're at now, what is intimacy to you now? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting, Erica, because I'll get to that in 1 second, but what I will say is that I experienced no intimacy with myself. I didn't know myself. So how can you be intimate with something you don't know? I had no idea of my values. I had no idea who I really was. I was just acting out. So there was no intimacy. I couldn't offer any intimacy to others. I could be kind. I could be nice, you know, but I could do that ticking box stuff. But in terms of intimacy, there was nothing. So for me now, there's such a drive in my whole of my life when it comes to connecting and really wanting to be seen, to be felt and to see others and to feel them. And so I've gone from someone who didn't know how to let someone in to really like, if we're going to connect, you got to let me in because I know how empty it felt for me to not experience that. And now I've experienced it. There's no going back. Like I need to be let into your heart. I need you to express what it is that you're feeling. I need you to be open, to be vulnerable. I need you to let me see all the parts of you and not to be owned by them. I don't want you to be owned by the experiences that are happening within you that you're unconscious of. I want you to be able to understand them and to be able to communicate them to me so we can sit in that space together and I can do the same with you and really take ownership of ourselves and our connection and our experience. That for me is intimacy, letting each other into the depths of the complications of who we are as human beings.
Complexities, the complications, the messy, the parts that feel unlovable.
Yeah, completely. Of which I had so many. And I don't want to wait. It's so draining. I'm sure that I don't know if you experienced the same thing, but I found it so tiring, so draining, performing in that way. And I just wanted to be free. I wanted to be me and for people to see that and to accept that.
Yeah, I deeply, deeply resonate with that. And it was a big part of my journey too, like not knowing myself at all. I was not even on the radar in anything. I was so other focused and outside focused and like living outside of my body. So there's no way I could connect to my heart or even think about like revealing or being seen because I was all protection. All my protectors were so tightly woven. Nobody was getting closer. Yet there was this deep yearning to get closer. And that's been the journey, is like unraveling that conflict of like, I have this yearning for intimacy and then all of these defenses against that. And I don't know if that resonates for you, but that conflict has been the deepest part of my personal work and professional work now.
Completely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't want to carry any defenses anymore. Like I don't want to. It just doesn't serve me anymore. And I've come to learn how safe that I am. And I've come to learn that I'm not for everyone. And I've come to be so accepting of that, that I don't want to have to defend myself. I don't want to be defensive. I am at times, of course, Erica, I lose it. You know, I don't want to paint a picture of perfection of having got this sorted. It's the opposite. I want to like fully sit in the space that I am imperfect, and I want to show you those imperfections, and I want to be able to sit with those imperfections, and I want you to be able to do the same. It's not about expecting perfection. It's about understanding we are not perfect, but we can talk about and sit in that place of imperfection. And that's beautiful. That's freedom.
Yeah. What I think really comes before that freedom is safety. And I think I tried to bypass safety and just be free. And that very much backfired for me and, you know, led me into really unsafe situations and being an unsafe person for other people. So I'm curious if you can speak into being a safe person, because this work you do in the world and to help other men really deeply feel safe and reveal these parts that are so defended against seeing. I'd love to hear more on safety and like what that means and how you develop the sense of safety for other people.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I believe that safety starts with knowing yourself, because I don't feel safe around people who are performing. People who are trying to be something else, it leads me to, there's a complete disconnect there. I can't connect. I don't want to perform with them. I don't want to engage. I don't want to dance with that side of them. There's no depth to that for me. So for me, it starts with like that really grounded place of understanding myself and showing up authentically from that place and allowing people to see that that's where I'm coming from and that I'm empowering them to do the same. A big part of that I would include is being vulnerable, being open. And that doesn't mean I'm showing up and sort of giving my, like all my pain and all my, you know, like poor me, like, oh, you can do the same and we can just sit in this pity place with each other. It's not about that, but it's really being able to own and sit comfortably with the fact that, again, I'm not perfect, that I'm on this journey, just like you and anyone else I'm sitting with. We're all on the journey in some capacity in our own way, and to be able to be open about that and to give them permission to not be perfect, to not have it figured out, to not need to perform, to be able to feel whatever they're feeling, to be whoever it is that they are, and for us just to meet in that place. And that's I think that's how we feel safe, when we don't feel judged, when we can feel someone is accepting of who we are, however we show up.
Yeah, that place of safety really just opened so many channels. And I think when we feel safe, we're really in our bodies. And it's so interesting when you've created that capacity in your body, how being next to someone who's not in their body, you can really feel it. Like there's such a visceral felt sensation of that. And it feels, at least in my body, like untrustworthy. I can feel times like it's like a bait, you know, to go into that charming dance with someone, that performative dance, but really deeply feeling when that part comes online and like making a conscious choice of, this doesn't serve me. This doesn't go to places I want to be in. I walk away from those situations feeling empty.
Yes. I feel the same, Erica. I feel exactly the same. I really feel for me that it's the so much of where this came from is when I went into, I had experiences with other people on retreats, personal development courses, where I would be there and I made a commitment to myself before I went that I'd express my truth. I would allow, however scary it was, if there was something there that I felt I wanted to express, I would put my hand up, regardless of the story in my head, regardless of the judgment, I would offer it. And I would do that, and I would see other people in the room do that, and I'd form these connections with these people that I could easily have judged as being different or wrong or like weird or like not my kind of person. But suddenly they were opening their heart and I was seeing and starting to understand them in a deeper way. And it didn't matter what they looked like, what their interests were, how they were showing up. I felt some kind of connection to them and I wanted to speak to them more. So I was, I need to be that too. And I started to see that I'd come away from these experiences feeling more connected to these strangers that I could have judged as being so different to me. And now suddenly feeling like I want to spend time with them and just sit with them and feel them and have these conversations of meaning, of depth, in a way that I didn't have in my personal life otherwise. And so when I was experiencing that connection, I was like, now those conversations, those not to judge them, but to give them the label, more surface level, more easy conversations, just no longer were appealing to me because I'd had these other experiences that impacted me, that I felt. And so I wanted to bring them alive in my real world. And so when someone was speaking to me on the surface level, I'm just, a part of me is like, I don't give a shit. I'm not afraid by this. And of course that happened in this world. And of course, so I'm not dismissive and rude. I'm like, I don't give a shit in response, but to try and give myself as much depth, you know, to give that, as well as knowing that sometimes I'm going to sit in those conversations and that's life. That's the world that we live in. I don't know if you had the same experience or if you felt that too.
Yeah, definitely. As you're sharing that, what really came up for me is when I witness someone sharing from that vulnerability, which I think is really a skill and a gift and a sense of safety. Because I do think there's oversharing, which is not vulnerability to me. So it's really like feeling into that energetic difference of like, what is just like a pouring, spilling, dumping out, and what is like, self is online and I'm sharing from that place. But when someone shares from that place, there's an instant connection with them. And that connection never goes away. Like it's so truly beautiful. Like I'm in awe of those moments. They can happen with strangers. They can happen in containers. And it's just in that moment, you just are so deeply connected that nothing else matters. Like who they are, their job, like all those details fade away. And there's just this like, I'm here with you in this moment. There's such a deep like reverence for someone who goes there, right? Like just this bow of like gratitude and appreciation and respect for doing that really courageous thing. So it pulls me in instantly. And it's such an invitation for me to open up and do the same.
I hear you. As you're saying that, I feel like, you know, what I'm hearing come up for me and my body, and they're so true. It's just like the words, I see you, when someone communicates that, I see them. And there are so many people that I just, in my life for so long, I wasn't seeing them. We were just performing together. And it had a purpose and it did something, but it wasn't a deep connection.
Like not seeing ourselves, not seeing the other, just behind this thick, invisible wall of armor and defenses, just living. To me, it's this feeling of living parallel, but never intersecting. There's no penetration happening. It's just this parallel existence. And it's, for me, was so deeply lonely.
So lonely. So I'm with you. I don't know if I knew that it was lonely at the time, because it was just all I knew. I didn't know anything else. And that was a big part of my experience, is that, and what I see in this world, is that particularly with men, because they don't know a deeper connection, because they've never experienced that, because they've never been open and vulnerable, they've never seen into someone. Maybe they've occasionally seen into someone and they're like, that's really beautiful. But it's almost like they don't know it's possible in all interaction, you know, or a lot of interaction, let's say, personal interaction. And so they just don't know. And they would label themselves as someone who just isn't that, because probably a big part of them feels uncomfortable as that conversation comes alive. Part of them is not ready to let itself be seen. It doesn't know how to engage with themselves on that level. So it feels, and they just take that as, I'm not that person then. I'm not someone who wants to go there. I don't seek that kind of experience. When they do, like you said, you know, you're yearning for connection, but the armor was there. Same for me, but we just don't know how to get to that place. We've never been there.
Yeah, the not knowing is a lot to hold, and having these needs and not knowing how to vulnerably express them or ask for them. And I don't know about you, but all of the indirect ways I came up with to attempt to get these needs met, lot of crash and burn moments and situations, but really clearing out whatever it's been that keeps this so indirect and finding that direct channel has been so liberating and so connecting and so fulfilling for me, to just have a channel to have needs and ask for them, and also be someone that someone can come to me and ask something from me. That was a big one for me, was actually someone needing things from me felt deeply triggering.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the beautiful part of this, Erica, is like, your story makes sense to you. You know, that's it may not make sense to someone else. And we all have that. And until we get to know our own stories and our own patterns, then we're going to be acting out these stories, these learned behaviors, if you like, and they're not going to make sense to other people. It's only when we can sit with them and we can see them and we're able to vulnerably express and to be able to look at our behavior and to be able to say, oh, wow, like, hey, I wanted to share that, you know, how I reacted there was something I wasn't intending to do. And I can see that came from that wound that I carry. And I'm sorry, because it's not how I'm intending to be. And it's not how I want to connect with you. And it's not how I want to live. So can we have the opportunity to just sit with that and unpack that? And so if it comes up again, we can find ourselves in a different place, you know? And that, how often we don't do that in relationship, but it's so beautiful when we do, if we can learn.
We can learn that repair. That's what I hear you really speaking life into, is repair. And I'm curious, I don't know if this is, you see more in men or women, or it's just kind of universal, but this idea of repair, does that show up in your work a lot, like helping people learn that process, that maybe rupture isn't so catastrophic if the capacity and opportunity to repair is available?
Yeah, absolutely. Because what we're not looking to do is just avoid conflict, to avoid all this stuff, to pretend or to think that we're going to get it right all the time, and to not react and never go into our patterns and to be this enlightened human being together and it's bliss all the way, you know? But that repairing, but there's so much beauty in that repairing. You know, that we add a new level, a new layer of understanding each other each time we go through that experience and understand why we acted out how we did, or why we got the response that we did. And now we understand each other more deeply. It's like there's so much gold in those moments. I really love Brené Brown's work, and one of the parts that I love she expresses is just being able to vocalize when we're seeing our pattern in the way that you just say to your partner or your friend or whatever it is, that there's a story in my head. So there's a story in my head that you don't really want to speak to me anymore, and you're getting bored of me, and you want to move on and do something else now, or whatever. I don't know. I'm making this up. And to be able to create that distance, and to be able to recognize it's not my truth. I'm not putting this on you, that you want this. And then for them to react in a way, they're like, no, I don't want that. Why are you saying that? You're crazy. Like, what's going on? And it's like, just to let you know what I'm understanding, what I'm hearing in myself. And I don't know if it's true or not, but I'd love to be able to talk to you about it. Can we do that and to create that separation from the voices are just some of the most beautiful conversations for me.
Yeah, I so resonate with that. And it's so beautiful how communication skills in those moments and witnessing ourselves in those moments gives us a channel for so much deeper intimacy to be able to not act that out, but to speak to it. That I'm noticing this in me. This is the story coming up for me. This is the part that's here today. I'm feeling defensive right now. I wonder why. That witnessing and curiosity, but also the language, I think creates so much space for intimacy to have these conversations that were once not available are now like right in front of you to step into.
Yeah. As a man, you know, it really makes my heart melt if my partner can come to me and to bring her pain or her challenge, particularly around my behavior where I've been unconscious around it, and to say, like, you know, this is what's coming up for me, and can I talk to you about it? And to let me into what they're experiencing, for me to have awareness and understanding into that, for them to soften, you know, not to make me wrong, to express that and to allow me the opportunity to change, to grow, to listen, to understand, it melts my heart. You know, I'm like, oh, like, thank you for letting me in. But that takes a lot of work for me. I know that there's definitely a period in my life where I would have been defensive or not know how to meet them or feel awkward or try and just change them, fix them without taking any of the responsibility myself, or, you know, all of that stuff. To not take it personally.
As you were sharing that, I was like, wow, this man has done his work to be able to sit in that space. Like, I so honor you for being able to sit in that space and be like, I love this. This melts me. This feels like come closer. That's the work, right? That's the reward. I don't know if I love that word, but that's like the result of all of this deep inner work, is to be able to sit and meet your partner in that space. Like, that is so sacred. And so sacred, speaking from a woman, when a man can hold that, the softening that becomes available and the trust that becomes available, like, it's so deeply needed and so deeply respected. So I really see you in this moment and just honor you for doing that work.
Thank you, Erica. Thank you. And, you know, I just to offer this back, or to not to deflect it away from me, but what I do know is that what I need to be able to receive it that way is for it to come from a place of softness. If it's come from an accusational place that is making me wrong, you know, there is still that part of me that's like, you're like, hang on a minute, you know, like, and you can't meet it. So there is definitely a dance, and I can't sit in this place where I can say I'm perfect, and that whatever someone brings to me, I'm just this immaculate, I'll hold it and get it. It definitely has to be met. I'd like to think that I can hold it in some capacity, but for me to intimately meet it and to feel like, yes, I want to keep doing this with you, I keep meeting you in this place, is if it's coming from a soft place that's letting me into their heart, and for us to meet in that place, not then accusation, you're wrong, you're bad, sort it out, you know, that firmness, if you like, then I'm like, now we're gonna butt heads, you know.
Yeah, honoring the woman's work and the feminine work in this too, to be able to meet someone there.
Exactly.
Well, how do you help people learn this? I feel like this is such an important place for people to learn how to be in these conversations and in these moments, and especially for men. How do you show up to help these men really do this, be this for their partners?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, there's a journey in this, I believe, and you can't just jump bits, you know, that there's a process. And for me, it starts with understanding themselves, like taking a long, hard look at themselves and being deeply honest about how they feel about themselves and how they're showing up in this world. And then from there, bringing in compassion, like awareness, like that their wound, well, not their fault, you know, but the healing is their responsibility. I always come back to that quote. So to taking ownership that yes, they've this has been their behavior. No one else did it. However, to look at where that came from and to let go of the shame that is wrapped around it, that keeps it stuck, to be able to soften it, to really bring in compassion to not only for themselves and their journey and what led them to that place and to make the mistakes that they did and why they are as they are. But also to extend that to the people around them as well, who they're then saying, well, it's all very well, but they're acting this way and doing that stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, they don't know themselves either. And they're acting out their stuff too, that just like us all, to be able to bring compassion and now allow space. Now we've like created some softness around all this, some openness. It's like, oh, I'm not so much to blame for all of my problems. And now we can expand and to let men, and I love the male archetype framework. I love the concept that within every man, there is a warrior, a lover, a magician and a king, to be able to give them permission to because if we live in this very confusing world for men, in that on one hand, we need male leaders, we need strong leaders who are going to guard us out of this. At the same time, or we need men to also be very vulnerable and soft and open up and talk about their emotions. And for a lot of men, they're like, well, that sounds completely contradictory. Like, what are you asking for? And it's like in this confusion, I'll just be what's natural to me. And I'll just do my thing because I can't work out what you're meant to say, what you're asking me to do. So inviting men to understand that in vulnerability, we're not asking them to not be a warrior, to lose that warrior aspect. It's like, yes, there's a warrior within you, a part of you that will get stuff done, focus, determination, that can show up, that can lead, that knows what it is that matters. But there is also a lover within you that can soften, that can nourish the relationship, that feels, that experiences the beauty, the pain, the challenge, that experiences all of the things that are happening in this world, that can sit with their emotions. And also this magician that can create and see that there's more opportunity, that we aren't all knowing and all empowered. There's more opportunity to grow and create and express more and evolve. And it's then when we can look at all those parts, now we're stepping into being our king, and we can be the warrior when we need to go and get our stuff done, and we can be the lover in our relationship and with our children and whatever, and be the magician when we need to create. And all of that lives within every man. So now, like with compassion and softness around these rigid structures that we've got as ourselves as a human, now we soften them. Now it's like, okay, there's all these parts. So where can I step in? Where am I not stepping up as a magician or as a warrior or as a lover? Can I step up more in those areas and expand who I am as a man? And giving themselves permission, I remember for me, just knowing that all those parts lived in me just gave me permission to be them. And knowing that if I was a lover, it didn't mean I also wasn't a warrior. So now I could be soft and it didn't mean that I wasn't strong. You know, and knowing that could be these contrasts. So then, and then creating a vision for how we be in our world. How do we be? What's the person that we be from this expanded place of knowing there's more to us? Now we're an entirely different person.
It sounds like you're really helping men take out these polarizations in their body and system and really helping them be a little more fluid in those and dynamic and kind of get out of this rigid box. And like what to do with nuance and can I be in the paradox? Can I dance in these different spaces?
Yes, that's my intention. Absolutely. Yeah. And that is what I feel the world is asking for men right now. It is asking us to lead, but it's also asking us to be vulnerable. And we need to learn how that's possible because it is.
I so deeply empathize with the confusion for men and like the mixed messages and how to lead themselves through that.
Yeah, it's very confusing, you know, like, and it takes a lot of willingness to acknowledge that we can be so much more than we are labeled, and that we are told growing up and being given that permission. I didn't have permission to be all of who I was growing up. I had permission to be a very small part of who I was as a human if I wanted to thrive as a man, if I wanted to feel accepted. And I think there's a lot of men who experience that.
I'm curious for you, what part of you was allowed? What part was accepted?
The warrior, you know, but not a healthy warrior. It's very hard to be a healthy warrior if you're disconnected to what really matters, if you're disconnected to your senses, if you're disconnected to your sensitivity, like your humanness. It's very hard to be a healthy warrior. And you see a lot of men going all in that warrior archetype, but not in a healthy way, because they don't know what really matters to them. And they're going after things that, you know, temptation, constantly chasing. So for me, yeah, the magician, the lover was they were always there. I've always been a creative, kind, sensitive, soft man in some capacity, but there was no permission for me to express that part. Growing up, it was Rambo, it was James Bond, it was Terminator, it was the 80s for me. You know, they were the men who were thriving. And then I didn't see much evidence of sensitivity, vulnerability in those guys.
Those were the role models. Those were what we were witnessing on so many levels. I'm really curious about the sensitivity piece and being able to drop back into that. And was breathwork really a modality that helped you do that, to help you feel again and feel sensation and be with sensitivity?
Definitely one of them. One of them. Because through breath work, what I experienced was this opening up of and just feeling of like getting out of my head and all the shoulds and who I'm meant to be and how I'm meant to perform. And just this returning to like, well, this is who I am, you know, and there's no denying that I can really feel that into a deeper level right now. And I'm not thinking it, I'm experiencing it. It's there. It opened me up. And so from that knowing, it's like, well, what am I going to do about it? I have to find the strength to. Okay, I need to find the strength to allow my sensitivity, to allow my vulnerability, to allow myself to express my creativity, my emotions, because that's me, and I can see that now. Breathwork was a big part of what showed me that. Did you? Because obviously, I shared a breathwork experience with you, and like us all, we still carry a little bit of armor, we still carry a little bit of protection. There's always going to be more unfolding, and I don't know if you experienced that during our session like this.
Yeah. I experienced so much and in different ways than I expected. And what really was present for me is my resistance to being fully cracked open by the intensity of breath work, and still my resistance to fully feel. I think I've deeply sunk in and descended, but I know there's another deepness that's not quite yet available. And that was really reflected to me in our breath work. And you also mirrored to me my doing, like just doing it and not necessarily feeling it. And that's such a deep pattern for me. I can do. I can do all day. And it's been this beautiful learning and kind of my experience of intimacy of like, how could I actually just slow down and feel? I don't have to do because someone is telling me to. I don't have to do even if someone is holding space for me. Like really feeling into, wow, someone's holding space for me. And now I have to meet an expectation and that blocking me from just receiving the space. So all of that was like so available in our session together for me.
Beautiful, Erica. Thank you. And, you know, I'd love to just express like, in this world we live in, it's often kind of put this masculine journey, you know, men need to, you know, become more in touch with themselves, open up. But it's, and men do experience that. There's no doubt that there's pressure on men, particular pressure on men to do that. But there's no doubt that this is a global, this is not a masculine, feminine thing. This is a men and women thing. You know, the world is asking us to do, and we are judged on what we do and what we're achieving. And our heart doesn't judge ourselves in that way. Our heart wants us to live aligned to who we are. And to do that, we have to experience, to feel, to allow ourselves to receive. Our heart is so willing and open to receive. And the world tells us that we should be the ones giving, doing, making things happen, men and women. So I hear you, and thank you for bringing that alive, because I whilst I so often write the experience of men, I'm like so clear that this is for women too, in the world that we live in.
Yeah. Do you see a lot of women in their masculine and with that masculine shield in the world today, in relationships today? Is that something you're really seeing head on?
Yeah. We're all scared to surrender. We're all scared to be seen as weak. You know, we're all scared to be judged. And if we really want to let ourselves be seen, if we really want to allow our feminine flow to be felt and experienced and for the masculine to come into our heart, we have to stop. We have to surrender. We have to be vulnerable, to be open. And the masculine craves that. It craves that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do. And it's such a common thing that we see in this world. I'm sure you'll have lots to say about it too, in the sense that there's a lot of women saying, where are the men out there? You know, I want a man who's going to look after me. You know, what's happened to all these soft men? You know, they still want that man. But they've been conditioned all their lives to bring that energy alive themselves, and they're not welcoming it. And I'm not blaming anyone here. This is the world that we live in. This is the patterns that we're taught. And it's very hard. And a masculine man is not going to want to meet a woman in the same place he wants to lead. And the more that the feminine can surrender and soften, the more it gives space for the masculine to step up and to lead. It is a dance, and it requires both. Very hard to surrender if there is no leader. It's very hard to lead if there is no surrender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I so deeply feel that mirroring and that dance. And what would you speak into for women who want to surrender, who want to open their heart and be met in that way? What would you say that journey looks like, or just a few steps on that journey that they could take?
Yeah, the first part is kind of, as you experience, is to stop, is to listen, is to feel, it's to go into a place of deep truth as to what we're really experiencing, and to not continuing to run and to hide and to do around those emotions, to stop feeding them. We all carry this sense of we're not meant to stop. We don't all carry that, that's not right, but so many of us carry in this world that we're not meant to stop. So it starts from that place, and then embracing activities that aren't doing activities, but being activities, they're experiencing activities. How can we bring that sensuality back into our body? Can we move? You know, can we not to do it right, not to perform, not to be to do it well, but to listen? How does our body want to experience this music or this moment, this experience? And to listen from that place, and to allow for that flow to come back into that body. The act of receiving, surrendering, allowing someone to look after them, putting the trust back into someone, which I know again is a dance. We need the men to be able to prove that they are trustworthy or the masculine to prove it's trustworthy for the feminine to be able to surrender, which is we're missing that part in the first place in this world. So it's hard, but can the feminine find a masculine to hold them, to allow them the safety to flow, to soften, to express, to be vulnerable, to be open?
Yeah, I so deeply feel in every cell of my body the sensuality piece, and how that is such a return. Like, sensuality to me is getting out of that paradigm of right or wrong, of all our defenses, of performing, people pleasing, being perfect. I know those all so well, but really, like, just feeling into your body what feels good, right? And to stop doing the things that don't feel good. That might seem so simplistic, but I feel like that's such a big part of this journey to really, for me to get into sensuality, it's so much about integrity with myself too. I have to stop doing the things that don't feel good and be honest about that. And that allows so much more safety and movement and freedom in my body. So I so hear you, sensuality being the thing to return to, the descent for the woman to drop into. And it's such a beautiful place to do that. And really, we do need a masculine container. There's such a deep need for that, and learning how to let yourself be held. That it's safe to be held, even if you didn't have that experience growing up and you had to hold yourself and hold it all in and hold it all together, but how to let yourself really be held I think that's such a healing piece of this in the surrender journey, is really allowing yourself to be held.
And that is where, you know, the masculine can help heal this well. The more strength and security and safety and groundedness and sensitivity with all that to be able to hold the space, the more we allow for the softness of the feminine, that we're all crying out to be soft in some capacity. And I'm speaking to myself, my own feminine part. I crave to be soft at times. I don't want to constantly be running the ship, to be leading, to be doing that, this dance, you know. And perhaps I've got new understanding, new meaning or new perspective around this, you know, this term of fluid, you know, how fluid we're all becoming. And actually I see it in this positive way, in terms of within us all, there is this masculine and there is this feminine energy, and we're going to need both, all of us. And I crave sometimes to have my softness held. But at first it starts with, where's the strength? Where's the strength for humans to be able to hold each other without judgment, without making each other right or wrong? And I loved what you said. If you don't mind just expanding this one last bit about, you know, not having to get it right, you know, and I'd apply that into this energy of flow and dance, where I know within my own body, there is this desire for my body to move. The song comes on to move to it. And for a long time, Erica, I had this perception that I didn't want to dance. I didn't like dancing. I wasn't good at dancing. It wasn't part of me. And so this is the one area where I'm just like conscious when you say, you know, to not do things that I don't want to do, but just to look a little deeper than that and go, do you really not want to do it? Or are you holding yourself back? Because I held myself back from dancing, giving myself an excuse that it wasn't for me because I didn't like it, because I wasn't good at it. When actually the real truth was, if a song came on, my body wanted to move. And I judged myself and I pretended I didn't like it. I didn't want it because I wasn't very good at it. I'm 6'6" and I've got these long limbs, and it's like, oh my God, judgment hell. Like, so really feeling into, do we really not want to do this? Or actually, is the truth, we do want to do this, but we're scared. We're scared.
I love that deepening. It's so true. There's so much more to look at there. And is this shame holding me back? Is that why it doesn't feel good? And speaking into dance, like, that was such a container for me for so much healing, but it brought up so much shame because it showed me how out of body I was. It mirrored to me how uncoordinated I was because I was not inhabiting my body. And so it was deeply painful to start to move the tension and the rigidity and to see myself in that. Like, there's probably not a lot of times in my life that I wanted to look away so badly. Like, seeing myself in movement at the beginning of that journey was the biggest cringe. Like, I couldn't hold it. Like, could not hold seeing myself. So I kept going, and I, you know, didn't do it in front of mirrors. I couldn't look, but I could start to feel. And I think that the most beautiful thing about dance, I think it really does connect us back with ourselves, but it is deeply uncomfortable if you've been out of your body or holding all of that rigidity in your body.
I'm with you all the way, Erica. And, you know, my experience was such, I was so out of my body. I didn't know that there was a beat to music. I didn't know that there was a beat. I couldn't hear it. I didn't know how to move to it. I was like moving to the guitar and the violin, and it was all like this big mess. I had no connection to the music. I couldn't hear it. I couldn't hear what it was doing to my body. I was trying to think, like, what I meant to do to this, you know, and there was no sense of connection within me at all.
Yeah. I'm just smiling to this, like, picturing you and I.
I'll still maintain that, but actually, no, I'll take that back. If I embrace it, people love to see it. They're like, there's a guy who's free. And I learned that, you know, and I'm still not that. It's ongoing work for me, Erica. I know that there's more work within me. Like, you know, with the breath work, you knew there's more depth to feel. There's more depth. I know there's so much more to me, because I know that I'm still not liberated and free in my expression around movement. I know I can feel it more. I know I can let go of more judgment around it. I know that I can, I can feel it. So I know that continues.
It's such an interesting experience feeling your edges and knowing there's more beyond those, but also having to take an account to your nervous system, right? Like, can I go this fast or is this too much for my nervous system? And checking in with the different parts of you. It's like, it's really the stance of like, let me step to that edge, but like be really gentle there. Or maybe I blow past it and then, you know, there's a lot of recovery and repair work to kind of come back home. But it's so beautiful to be at our edges and explore that and the tension there. And can we lean into the unknown there and not back to the familiar?
Completely. Completely. And yeah. I'm trying. You know, I'm still trying. I've come a long way, that's for sure. But as with this work, I'll never get to the end.
That's the beautiful part, right? When we can integrate that and be like, this is life. This isn't just work. This is just life. Like, this is who I am, and learning to open and express more is my life path, is my mission, and to help others do that as well.
And you know, when it comes to intimacy, Erica, for me, that is a big part of intimacy, because if I'm in something with someone and we're on that path and there's expansion, then it's like, you know, I love you for where we're at. I love what we're doing, how we're feeling. And I know there's so much more together. And I know that I'm going to see more of you. We're going to uncover more parts and you're going to see more of me. Ongoing, and where can we evolve to? What is possible for our love, our relationship, our container in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years? What is possible in this space? That for me is just such a intimate enhancer, if you like. It's like the opposite of feeling stuck. And I think so many of us feel stuck in a relationship because we can feel that there's not that going on.
You feel the wall, the stop. Instead of this expansion and this exploring that's possible.
Yeah. Yeah. This is it. This is a relationship. This is going to feel, it started to get a bit boring and it's all it's ever going to be because there's no expansion. So am I happy with that? I mean, really? But
yeah. Almost. No, next. No, next. And then you get stuck in that cycle of never opening and deepening and gosh, the possibilities from this place, I don't even know if I can fully conceptualize like even what possibilities are possible. It's just infinite. That's,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And how exciting is that?
Yeah, super. I mean, it's motivating to do this work, right? To go to these steps. Like it pulls me in, it magnetizes me, it activates my life to know that there's so much depth and wit possible.
Yes, I'm with you. Yeah, it's rare. It's so rare, and it's not how most people are operating. I know.
Yeah,
me included. For a long, long time, and I'm still on the journey. But it's not to say I've got this relationship of complete expanse with complete opportunity. I'm sure I'm still holding onto things that are stuck as it stands. But hopefully, bit by bit, I'm getting closer to letting it go and becoming more.
Yeah, I totally match you on that. I can feel where there isn't liberation and the deep yearning for that and the patience for it. And what's been so helpful for me is just the idea of I'm building more capacity for it. Not I can't do it, or I'm not capable, or I can't tolerate. Just this idea of I'm building capacity to let go deeper, to open more fully, to express more, to be seen more, to see myself more. Feels like a capacity piece for me, at least.
Yeah, and then it's like I may not have it right now, but I am getting there, and I'm gonna have it because I'm on that path. But I'm not quite ready at this stage.
But I'm knowing the path. That we're on the path, that it is possible. It's coming. It's coming and it's coming and it's coming.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all, I think that's all we can ask for, and all of that capacity. Yeah. Getting it in a relationship. And that's that, and that's beautiful for me. One step at a time.
Yeah. And
that's slow. Beautiful.
Just slow. Taking it all slow. Slow is my new language of like, how can we go slow and feel this all?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a really important part of this experience, in the sense that we live in this world where, you know, Instagram has blown up and people are becoming very good at regurgitating and saying the right things and learning and, you know, being able to put words out and to say the things. And I really feel this is about embodiment now. This is, you know, this is about embodying it. This is not about understanding it all or rationally working with stuff out. This is about embodying it, being it. And that's my one fear for the industry is that it's becoming very rational. We're understanding everything, but are we really embodying it? Because it's about the experience. This whole life that we're living is about our experience. It's not about understanding the experience. It's about feeding the experience.
Yeah, it's so true. I think we get stuck in the intellectual piece and trying to make sense of everything. And it's such a different, deeper experience when it just drops into your body.
You don't need
it. That's about sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
It can be a beautiful connection without saying anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with you on that this journey, and I hope for this space, the spiritual community, the mental health community, the inner work, right? The psychedelics, all of this space is like embodiment. How can we be more embodied and live from that place?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that is where I find in my work, because that is my belief, my work is more and more like about embodying. How can we bring the true embodiment of this alive rather than rational understanding it? How can we embody this? How can we be it? Not say it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Ben, where can people find you so that they can get into your work and really embody all of these beautiful teachings and wisdoms you have?
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. So I guess things still run through Instagram. I haven't done TikTok. I haven't managed that far in this overwhelmed world. So BenBidwell_ on Instagram, and my website is benbidwell.com. My intention to have a weekly newsletter. That doesn't always happen, but I'm getting there, Erica. I'm getting there. But yeah, website and Instagram.
Beautiful. And I'd love if we could share with everyone what you are offering right now and what's available. And if they do want to work with you, how could they? In what capacity?
Beautiful. Thank you, Erica. Yeah. So I'm doing more and more live events in London, and I'm really, after the world going online, after lockdown and COVID and everything, I feel a huge pull to be back in person with people and feeling them and experiencing that. So there's more and more live events. I'm based in London. So, yeah, doing that side of things. The online world still is important to me, and I'm offering that. And I've got courses coming in 2024 that's going to be all about, learning about who we are, letting go, stepping into the full expanse of who we can become as a human being, and embodying that. So I'll be running online programs in 2024, probably from March onwards. So, yeah, that's my work.
Beautiful. And we'll make sure to make that available for everyone to follow and check out. And that'll all be in the notes, with this beautiful conversation. And I just want to thank you so deeply for having this conversation with me and just this opportunity to like truly connect with you on a deeper level. I feel so, so honored, and I'm so grateful to get to see different parts of you. And I hope through our very compatible missions of helping people to open, that our path stays connected too. I deeply value the work you're doing.
Beautiful, Erica. Right back at you. Thank you. Thank you for giving me a space to share, to connect with you and dive into this stuff. It really fills my heart to have these conversations. So thank you for providing space for me and, yeah, for being you. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you so much.
If this podcast feels in resonance with you, I would be so grateful for 30 seconds of your time to follow or subscribe to the Return to You podcast, to leave a 5-star rating and review, and to share this episode with someone you love who's on the journey home to themselves too.
Thank you so much for being here. I see you.